maybe you don't appreciate what's involved in studying the Bible with a Muslim. We lost a guy a couple years ago because he was evangelizing in Africa, because he was evangelizing a couple of Muslims. I mean, the margin of error is almost invisible. And so here he is studying the Bible with some Muslims. Well, then the pastor of this particular evangelical church in Beirut got on this guy's case and says, you got to bring these people to church. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know, two worlds apart, with 1,000 years of hatred between the two. Guys hearing the gospel for the first time, and here's this pastor getting upset because our man is not taking him into the church. If he did, he would have been dead, and those 20 men would be dead. But we think that way. We think institutionally. And so we feel that if we get some fruit, we have to institutionalize it. There's no salvation outside the church. So, well, what am I getting at here? Well, I'm saying that, okay, tradition is a necessity. You can't live without it. Alvin Toffler worried about, you know, tradition is moving so fast that we can't keep up with it, and we have, you know, we're going to neuroses. But it leads to ethnocentricity, and our traditions become a second authority. And they become as authoritative as the Bible itself, eventually eclipsing the Bible, and we become mired in our own past. Three times in history, the gospel broke loose. But those three times, it was always in the middle of great conflict. First time, of course, was with Jesus, where he reputed the tradition of the elders, and it cost him his life. Second time was the Apostle Paul, where he came out with this wild, radical statement in Ephesians chapter 3, which doesn't look at all radical at this point, but he says the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews. Big deal. But those were fighting words at that time. And the third time was with the reformers, with Martin Luther, where he said, the just shall live by faith, period. Each time that the gospel broke loose, it was because we recognized that we had really no commitment to this mass of tradition, but that we have a right and a responsibility to go back to that which is essential and begin there. Renewal. You know, we worry about becoming a monument. But I tell you, there's one way that we can never become a monument. If we continue to be concerned about form and perpetuate form, which is just an ingrown part of all of us, we are all ethnocentric, we are all insecure, we all like to repeat last year's success patterns. Most men spend their lives repeating last year's success pattern. And we all like to do that because it's comfortable. But if we have the courage to go back and say, what are the essential functions? What really has to happen? What are the essential truths? Do we have the courage to go with that? Then I tell you, there is no limit to what we can do. Then the possibilities for movement really become viable. Well, I don't know whether I survived this or not, but let me just throw this open for questions. Let's see, we've got 11:30, we have to quit at 12. There are some little squares of paper on the 3x5s on the table. And if you have some feedback for me or some question that you want to just keep private, I would really appreciate getting it, or something that you want me to address later on, some question, just put it on a 3x5. But apart from that, right now I'd like to take about 30 minutes and have enough interaction so that I know that I have communicated with you, and you know that you have understood me. So basically what I'm looking for is just kind of questions for clarification. Did you really mean to say this, or what do you think of this, or how does this relate to? Those are the kind of questions I'd like to entertain right now. So let's just kind of throw it open. Do you want to stand up and stretch for a minute before we do that? Okay? Anything that you write on those pages, the 3x5s, just kind of leave them in the center aisle or on the end there when you leave here, and then we'll collect them. Okay, let's do it. Questions? Yeah, John has one. What do I have here? Okay. Do I want to address the second thought, or the second item on questions for thought? Are these tendencies we've described perceptive in navigator history? That's the one. Yes, I think we ought to address that. And I'd like to get started on that right now. I have a little thing for you that will be on the table when you come in, not at 1:30, but at 3:15. I'll give you about 30 minutes on it, which will stimulate your thinking on this question even further. But let's entertain that for a minute. The question is, are these tendencies we've described perceptive in navigator history? What do you think? Okay, someone said yes, defend it. Beidler? Okay. Joe? Any other thoughts on that? Yeah. We have a hard time seeing a life without the structures. Okay. I'd like to add one thing there because that's important to put into the equation. You can't live life without form. If you try to live life without form, you get up in the morning, you have to decide, well, am I going to dress today or going to go nude? Or am I going to go to work today or what? Am I going to eat breakfast? What should I have? Steak and potatoes for breakfast? All of that is automatic. And in the ministry also, we need forms. But the thing is, our attitude to the forms, they can't control us. Rod? Okay, that'd be a specific illustration. Good. Okay, another question, and we'll come back to yours as we go along. It's a very significant question that we're asking here, John. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes. Well, I define the apostolic function as being something that caused something to come into existence that was not there. And it has the responsibility to complete what is lacking, to plug in what it has brought into being so that it will go on to maturity. And I would say that that's our role. Titus 1:5 would be the verse on that. I would say that there are a number of others. A lot of them are foreign mission organizations. There are a lot of new ones coming up. I think just out of God's sovereignty, He's not going to let this thing go without, these kind of people appearing. I think some, there would be special functions. There are apostolic functions, and there are special functions. Some would be evangelistic. I think the Campus Crusade would be basically a mobile function, a special function, basically called to do a reaping ministry. And so there would be others like that. Okay? Yeah. Right. The difference is in mentality. I mean, you can have a mobile man staying in the same city for 10 years, but a person who thinks as a local leader, He thinks about being foundational too. And so he thinks of holding things together, and he's going to be there till he dies. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we desperately need people like that in the body of Christ. The apostolic, he will work himself into something, and he will cause it to come into existence. And but he is thinking about who's my replacement, when can I go on, or who could I send over there to this other situation. And so his mind ranges over the totality of the vision. That would be the difference. Another question. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we've made the shift. I think that there are some organizations that would be proper to call them parachurch. For instance, Christian Radio, a co-portage, like American Bible Society or something like that. They offer a particular service to the body. But where you find an expression of the body that's bringing people into existence in the kingdom of God, people coming to Christ, who are being established, who are being led into, just participation in the kingdom of God, that's a different picture, different story. And I would say that at this point, it is still not in focus. You read a book on ecclesiology, there's this tome by Earl Rodmacher, What the Church is All About, and it's a magnificent work, and he spends I don't know how many thousands of pages talking about the word ecclesia, and it's very helpful. But you look through that whole book, and it's notable in its absence that there's any reference to other manifestations of the church other than local. Another thing that's notable in its absence is that there is virtually no concern about how does the church look to the people on the outside. In other words, there's very little concern for the church's influence in the world. The second concern, apologetic. And so I don't think that we've made many moves in this direction yet. Yeah. Yes.
The implications of that are probably whether you came into ministry because of having a heart for whatever that particular function was that God is now moving on the way from.
Yes.
What do you see the implications? I mean, God does do that. What are the implications? Do you think God will do that and all over that organization?
Are you hearing the questions?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I slipped a cog. Yeah, the question that he's asking is, we're talking about, as an apostolic movement, we move from one contribution to another. Now, what about people who have been attracted to the Navigators because of a particular contribution that we were making, and we seem to be moving on from it? Now, where does that leave them? Is that the question? Okay, I would say this, that just as these two had to exist, and they needed one another. I cannot see where we're going to say, okay, now everybody's going to do something else. I think that there will be room, there has to be room, for those who are being effective in what we have been doing. And as Terry talked yesterday about the university ministry and the military ministry, we have to keep those strong. And boy, I would say right on, because those are our synagogues. See, we can go there, we can get a hearing, we can establish a generation, and we can do things pretty much as we have done them in a lot of situations. There are a lot of people who still are benefiting from the 500 years of religious heritage that was brought on by the Reformation. and we should not ignore that. And so the difference would be that the scope of our vision would be broader. And so a person would do the same thing, but with his vision, including things that really were not a part of our thinking in the past. That's how I see it. Rusty?
Related to your form, function, and result, it's like you're saying that as the apostolic band moves on, it's not that they're changing functions all over the place so much, but they're moving on to, and God using them to go to a different place to create new forms to do the same things in a way that people without that function may not be able to do.
That's right, yes. See, I feel that as I was saying, the church as we have it today, because of our ecclesiology, we're almost trapped. And I get letters from pastors probably, almost, it seems like every day, but it may be less. But they're saying, their complaint is, we cannot get beyond our own front door. The migratory flock has spotted us, especially a successful church. Seeing these people land on them, and they come in with 20 years of chronic problems. And you can't just say, hey, we're not interested in you. They have got to minister to those people. And, that's a responsibility that we, the body of Christ, have to maintain. And so it's not that we're throwing rocks at the church and saying, hey, the local church aren't doing the job, we're going to go out and do it. No, I think that we can lay burdens on local churches that they should never assume. By definition, a local church is a local church. Now, some local churches try to be global mission sending agencies, and they're going to have all kinds of problems. So, okay, over here, and then. Okay, I will address it, but even if I could, I would probably not give you the scenario, because I have no intention of offering a blueprint to you men on how to go, where to go from here. We have got to begin to think, and I think that's my function at this time, is to just to help us begin to think, to identify the things we need to think about, and. I think it would be a mistake for us to try at this point to repeat some pattern that someone else has had. You men, as key change agents, are going to have to work this out in such a way that we accomplish what we're called to do, and then we honor the verse, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. And there are no easy answers to that, but so what? You know? Okay. Yes, I probably missed that, because I would go along with what Rusty said, if that's what you said.
I heard this morning you saying what I said, which addresses what he said.
Yeah. You mean what we know. Well, Terry talks about the steel threads that run through our vision. And we'll talk about those. I don't feel that we are departing from any of our functions. I think that what is happening is that as time goes along, we get pulled away from those functions. Yes, by forms and by not our own forms even, but you know, just by the forms that we find ourselves in. And the question is, do we have the courage and the dexterity to go back and say, okay, now what were the functions? And, you know, there are very few. You can count them on your fingers. And so if we want to be a new sharp instrument, it's not we're going to throw the old functions out and come on, okay, now what are we going to do? No, we go back to those things that we have always claimed to be essential, and we say, well, let's take another look at this and let's make sure that the way we're exercising these functions, the ways are really relevant to this context that we find ourselves in today, which is a church that is kind of swamped in its own environment and a world that doesn't know that this church over here exists, and there's no energy on the part of the body of Christ to go there and do what needs to be done to disciple these people. Yeah, Rusty. Okay.
I was just going to say, isn't it whether or not the evaluation of our results we find satisfactory, wouldn't that also indicate the need for change or the need for readaptation? If we're operating in a traditional fashion, in a traditional situation, and the results are God is blessing and so on, well, that's no reason to abandon that.
Right.
And but if we are becoming increasingly dissatisfied with the product and the result, that could be the Lord saying, I want you to think.
Yeah, but I would go one further. We could be totally satisfied with what we're doing. I mean, it could be phenomenal. And a lot of what's going on in the NAS, I mean, we have a lot of occasion to really be satisfied because a lot of it is, you know, just very significant, very fruitful. But then we say, hey, there's this thing over here. You know, there's a wheelbarrow missing. And maybe we need to think in terms of going from the good to the better or to the more strategic. You know, just because we're getting along okay isn't enough to say we're okay. Well, it's 15 minutes until lunch, and we're going to get into discussion groups when we come back here. But we'll reconvene here, and we'll see what happens the rest of the day. Well, thank you for your attention. I would like to close in prayer, if you guys wouldn't mind. Right. Lord, we do thank you for your word and how it always addresses the reality in which we live. And we acknowledge the pressures that it would draw us away from that and would blunt our participation in your purposes. And it just seems too bad that every time you want to do something new, you have to raise something entirely new up. And we ask that you give us an understanding of what's involved in renewal. That it is to go back to those things that are really essential and to review, reflect on those things in the light of what's going on. And give us, Lord, the insight to be able to do that in these days. I thank you for these men and for their love for one another and their love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.